My son Ben got married last year, and in the whole year of furor, getting ready for that wedding, I started to think about rites of passage. And it occurred to me that one of the really big ones in our society is getting your driver's license. So this story is a story in three parts. I got my driver's license when I was 17. It came in the mail. Ripped open that envelope and paraded that license under the noses of my father and my mother, saying, "Look at this. This means I can drive the car alone without anyone in the passenger seat. It means I can exercise my independence." The first way that I exercised it was to go to my mother and say, "Would you like me to do some errands for you? Of course, I need to borrow your car." And she actually gave me her keys. So I got in the car and backed out of the driveway and clunk over the curb. It wasn't such a good start, but it wasn't so bad either. I swung out into the street, pulled forward, turned onto the next street, picked up a little speed, turned onto the next street, the last one before the big thoroughfare out of our neighborhood, and that is when I heard, whoop, whoop. I looked in the rearview mirror, and there was red light, blue light, red light, blue light, red. A policeman? What could I have possibly done wrong? But I did know what I was supposed to do. I pulled over to the side and I got out of the car. The policeman pulled over behind me, got out of the car. I stood up outside the car, which in those days was the proper thing to do and not the threatening gesture it is today. The policeman said, "Get in the back of my car." How could I have to get in a police car? I was just a kid. Just a teenager. But I knew I had to do it, so I got in his car, and he got in the front seat, and he said, "How fast do you think you were going?" 25? 35 in a 25 zone. And he started to write me up my first speeding ticket. I slumped in the back seat, thinking, "This is horrible. I hope nobody sees my humiliation of being in a police car." And no sooner was that thought in my head than I saw a car turn off the thoroughfare onto that street, and I recognized the car. It belonged to my father. Oh, how is that possible? Oh, and then I saw him. I saw him see my mother's car. I saw him see the police car. I saw him see me in the back of the police car. And then I saw him drive right on by, turn the corner, and disappear. How could he do that? I was so sure he would stop and save me from this terrible, awful policeman. I knew what he was going to do. He was going to go around the block and come back and save me from the policeman. I gave him lots of time. But he never came. When I went home, I had that ticket in my hand and I waved it under his nose. "How could you do that? How could you leave me there all by myself?" He said, "I was just letting you exercise your independence." Daedalus was the most exquisite designer, builder, architect. And so when King Minos needed to have a labyrinth to contain the Minotaur, that monstrous thing, he asked Daedalus. And when the labyrinth was done, it was perfect. And King Minos was happy for a time. But as often happens in ancient times, very soon the king decided that Daedalus had in some way betrayed him. And so he had Daedalus and Daedalus's son Icarus arrested and imprisoned in that very labyrinth. Daedalus managed to escape with his son, but even when they were out of the prison, they weren't free because they were on an island, the island of Crete, and it was filled with soldiers belonging to the king. They couldn't escape by sea because all around Crete were ships belonging to the king, and they couldn't escape by air because man doesn't fly. Or could he? Daedalus began to watch the birds, to inspect how their wings were formed, how they used them to fly. He began to collect all kinds of feathers from all the different birds, all shapes, all sizes. And he made a small frame, and he began to lay those feathers onto that frame, from the smallest to the long flight feathers at the tips. The smallest of the feathers he glued together with melted beeswax. And the largest feathers he sewed together with the tiniest gossamer threads. When he was done, he put the wings on and he worked and worked until he understood how to make them fly. And then he began to collect more feathers and construct a second set of wings for his son. And Icarus hovered around him, touching, asking questions. He couldn't wait to have his own wings. And when they were ready, Daedalus put them on his son, and he said, "Icarus, listen to me. I will teach you how to use these wings to fly. But you have to only do what I do. You have to only go where I go. Most particularly, you cannot go too close to the sea because we are not birds. And if we get these feathers wet, they could soak up with the water and pull us down. And you cannot go too close to the sun because it is so hot it'll melt the beeswax and the feathers won't hold you." And then they stood and Daedalus taught Icarus how to use the wings, and they rose up over Crete, ready to fly over the Aegean Sea past many islands till they got to safety. And as Icarus tried to fly, he was clumsy at first, but as he worked at it, he got the hang of it, and it was wonderful. He found he could circle around, he could swoop, he could soar. He remembered not to go too close to the sea. He remembered his father's instructions, but as he flew, the higher he went, the more powerful he felt, and it was good. And he forgot. And the sun was too hot. It melted the bit of wax, and the first feather flew off. And then another one loosened, and another, until all he had left was one or two last flight feathers, and the thread holding them ripped apart. And suddenly he began to plummet toward the sea. And he screamed out, "Father! Father! Father!" Daedalus, up ahead, had been turning back to watch and make sure his son was fine. And now he turned back and Icarus? Icarus, where are you? I can't see you. Tell me where to look for you, Icarus. And he looked down and saw that huge mess of feathers in the water. And he knew. He flew down to the next island and waited, and sure enough, the body of his son washed up on shore. And he buried his son on that island. And to this day, we still call that island Icaria. And the part of the Aegean Sea around Icaria, we call the Icarian Sea, so that we will remember that story. My son Ben, the same one that just got married, got his driver's license when he was 16, but his didn't come in the mail. He had to go to court, and he had to bring a parent or a guardian. I liked that. We got to the courthouse, into the courtroom. We sat down. I looked around, and everyone in that courtroom was a young person with a guardian, and the young people all looked ashen and anxious. The judge came in. We all stood up. When we were told, we sat back down. The judge began to talk. He told us stories. He told us the story about his daughter, how she got her license, and then she stayed out in the family car after curfew. He told us what consequences she got. He told us about teenagers who drank and drove, teenagers who didn't observe stop signs, yield signs, all kinds of stories about young drivers. And then I couldn't help but think how wonderful it was that he understood that we would remember these stories long after we could possibly remember any lecture he could have given us. He picked up the stack of licenses. I am not going to give these licenses to any of you young people here today. That's why we were all there. What was he saying? I am going to give these licenses to the guardians and the adults, the parents here. And if you adults find that your teenagers stay out after curfew with the family car, drink and drive, do drugs, or in any other way, fail to follow the rules of your household or this society, I give you permission. No. I demand that you take these licenses away. I liked that judge. We all lined up, and I took Ben's license in my turn and paraded it out of the courtroom and out of the courthouse and into the parking lot. Ben held himself together really well until we were at the car. Mom! Can I please have my license now? Oh, I thought the judge gave it to me. Mom, he didn't mean for you to keep it forever. I guess you did earn it. Do you want to drive home? Yes. We got in the car. He got in the driver's seat. I got in the passenger seat. And as he drove out of that parking lot, I thought, I hope that he is a good driver. Hope he doesn't roll over the curb the first time out the way I did. Hope he doesn't get a speeding ticket first time out the way I did. And he did drive us home well. And later that afternoon, he came to me and he said, Mom, do you want me to do some errands for you? Of course, I need to use your car. I did not want to give him my keys. But I knew it was time for him to exercise his independence. So I handed them over. And as I watched him get in my car and drive away, I thought, I hope he has been listening to all these stories he's heard. I hope he is wise as he learns to spread his wings. Thank you.